I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the FPL Roundtable, the only fantasy Premier League podcast where we guarantee that you might learn something about fantasy, probably. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries. Joining me, as always, is my good friend and partner in crime, Rob Langevin. Rob, it's been a minute. Unfortunately, I was losing my mind with deadline day stuff, so if anybody wants to be mad about us not doing a show last week, they can vent that at me, starting with you. Do you need to vent at my face?
No, dude. Everybody's got responsibilities in life. I got responsibilities. I had a nice week off and just, you know, kicked back and wore the same pajamas for a whole week instead of changing on a fantasy roundtable day.
You change your clothes to do an audio podcast?
Oh yeah, I got to look my best for the listeners at home.
Like three-piece suit, you should tweet out a photo.
No, tweed. It's all summer tweeds. I wear summer
does
tweeds.
Does it have the elbow patches?
Yep, 100%. I look like a creepy college professor.
Awesome. That's what I was hoping for, honestly. All right, well, again, sorry to everybody at home. Obviously, there was a lot of news over deadline day we'll get to in a second. But in the interim, Rob wrote a very good piece on relievers. If anybody plays fantasy baseball, go check that out over at Razzball. Then come back to this and listen to us rock your world with fantasy Premier League stats and knowledge. The biggest move on deadline day was obviously Aubameyang to Arsenal. Because we didn't get to record last week, that we've already seen him play. He scored a goal, although he was offside, but we're not going to bring up the whole offside thing this week. But it was a dominant performance from Arsenal. Mkhitaryan gets a hat-trick of assists. Ramsey gets a hat-trick of goals, the way hat-tricks normally work. And then obviously Aubameyang gets on the score sheet as well. Also, kind of secret boy for me, Iwobi gets an assist. I think that's two goals and an assist, or one goal and two assists, since Alexis stopped playing for them. Curious as to hearing your thoughts on what people should do with all of them Arsenal boys.
Well, the funny thing is, if you look at the transfer in and out of this week, the highest guys so far, the top three guys are all Arsenal. You have Ramsey at 90,000 in, Mkhitaryan at 180,000 in, and Aubameyang at 140,000 in. Of course, I'm rounding up, rounding down, whatever, to the nearest round number that sounds cool. But the interesting thing is, for Arsenal, they have Spurs. The North London Derby is this weekend. So, I mean, yeah, fantasy-wise, they do look like legitimate assets. But I'm going to bring this up to you, Kevin, because I'm going to ricochet this right back on you. Given that they have Spurs, and week 28 is a potential blank week for them because of the Man City-Wigan draw FA Cup game that is going to be played on the 19th of February, and that is who Arsenal plays in week 28. So that game could be a blank. So basically, if you're bringing in Arsenal assets right now, are you banking on them playing Spurs and getting a return and then hoping that Man City loses to Wigan? To rely on Arsenal assets here, because it's potential that they could play Spurs, which is a net neutral for me, and fantasy wise, you could probably agree with me that you really aren't going to touch many guys that you don't own already to bring in for this game. Going, you know what? I like Arsenal guys this week because they're playing Spurs. No, that doesn't happen. That's not how fantasy works. And then with the potential for a blank in 28, are you looking at Arsenal with clear eyes and going, yeah, I'm going to hit that again?
Yeah. It honestly doesn't matter because even if City do play that week against Arsenal, I don't really like Arsenal in that matchup either. So I'm pretty much just taking these 2 weeks to get better bearings on these guys and see how they fit in. Obviously, Aubameyang had an amazing – or sorry, not Aubameyang. Mkhitaryan had an amazing start here, but he also had an amazing start to his United season as well before he kind of tailed off. So I think getting like 2 or 3 weeks to get our bearings on this team is arguably a good thing.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. And defensively, you're not touching anybody. And all those guys have been, you know, giving you decent enough returns. Monreal has been going out of his mind. Now he's got a yellow hashtag on him. So he's a void, you know, Mustafi's doing his thing. Bellerin is owned pretty, you know, where is he? He's not even, oh, I have it listed because I have a price tag. My bad for people at home. I just freaked out on my computer thinking, like, wait, where's Bellerin? And I didn't see him because I had the, the price thing lower than he was actually in. You know, Bellerin is a decent enough return for an Arsenal defender. But like we just said, they have Spurs, and then they have a potential blank or City. I'm missing what people are seeing. I know people are looking, and they looked at what Aaron Ramsey just did. He just threw up a 20-burger, you know, last week, and people are like, oh, I want to get some of that with some cheese and some special sauce. You know, Mkhitaryan is now a differential play because he was basically thrown to the trash can, and then some dumpster diver picked him up and played him because they had some off-on chance that, oh, he was going to do something. You know, Iwobi is lying in the weeds as a low-priced option. And Aubameyang is 10.5, and he's probably going to have to replace somebody on your second-tier striker, you know, whether it be Firmino or whether you're choosing Kane and Aguero and you punted off Kane to get an Arsenal guy. I mean, Aubameyang is a great player, but at 10.5, I want to see more and against lesser opponents than Spurs and City. Am I correct?
Yeah, it's not a good time to bring them in, I would say.
No. I mean, and just the transfer rates are crazy. Like, you heard me say the numbers. 140,000 for Aubameyang right now. That's a 10.5 striker that somebody is bringing in. Where are they getting that money from? They're probably robbing themselves of somebody who is probably a better asset. It's probably Harry Kane, because Harry Kane has gone down this week. If and when we do touch on price ups and price downs, mm-hmm. Harry Kane has gone down. So I'm wondering if that is what people are doing for the 1 week. And I've been advising people on Razzball.com in my columns that attack this week as a 1 week only affair. Go for guys that have the best matchups this week. Week 28 will figure itself out because we have a week off because of a break. You'll have the Man City and the Wigan fixture figured out before the next game week plays, and then you can attack from there. Whether you start, you know, using your chips, whether you wild card, whether you have, your free hit chip, or you know, if you save up your transfers. But I'm totally viewing this week as a. There's three or four teams that I'm targeting this week that I want assets from, and that's it. And Arsenal is not one of them. I hate to go back onto a topic that we basically moved off of and basically put to bed, but they're not somebody I'm looking at right now. I understand what the fantasy universe is doing because of what they did, but you're chasing points here. Didn't they just – you're chasing points here. That's like going and saying, you know what? I think Watford's going to beat Chelsea 4-1.
Yeah, it's crazy, and obviously people may want to – pump the brakes on bringing in all the Watford people. As you've mentioned before, a lot of times with these low price guys, if you bring them in the week after they scored points, you miss the points. It isn't foretelling a future results that it happened and now you're already behind. Kind of in that vein, Jerry, a.k.a. Sunny D, over at Watford looks even more sunny with that bright fluorescent yellow kit on him. He obviously gets a goal and an assist, the assist coming via penalty. Against Chelsea in that match. Obviously, you're a Chelsea fan, but with De La Feu putting in a performance like that, I know we just said, you know, maybe don't buy in late, but this was De La Feu's first start at home for them, so this might be the start of a track record. What are your thoughts on our old boy?
When I open my fridge, to quote a bad commercial, when I open a fridge, all I see is some soda, some purple stuff. Oh, Jerry D! Jerry D at 6.0 right now. owned in 1.2% of leagues. That number is going to go up because people are buying in like crazy right now.
Should people put Jerry D in their fantasy fridge?
I just brought up the list right now of people plus or minus two cents from him. You have Pascal Gross, Lingard, Richarlison, Shaqiri. And those are basically the top scoring guys that are around him price-wise. Are you more comfortable with what we saw from Jared De La Feu, or are you more comfortable in going with the vanilla flavor of Pascal Gross, the formerly United attack guy, scoring guy, Lingard, who's probably going to be displaced now, the once in a while, I'm just going down the list of the guys that are the biggest scorers around him, Decore, who just went off against Chelsea again, who's been doing decent returns at 5.3, Richarlison 6.2, when's the last time Richarlison actually had confidence in somebody and said, yeah, you know what, I'm still going to be in your lineup because of this? I mean, now's the time to bring Richarlison back in if you're or believe in Richarlison, because everyone's going to Gerald Deulofeu and punting off Richarlison. So now Richarlison is basically going to be a differential compared to Deulofeu because everyone is punting off of Richarlison.
Mm-hmm.
I loved Deulofeu. I love what he did. I thought he brings excellent wide side movement on the ball. And what we saw against Chelsea wasn't the best Chelsea squad that I've ever seen, and I've been watching them for God knows how long. But, you know, they look all thumbs and sixes and sevens. And listen, Deulofeu is not going to have that fluidity on the wide side very often. Yes, Alonso didn't play in this game. The Chelsea formation has changed six times in the last six game weeks. There's been six different starting 11s in that time. So whether it's a fluidity thing or a getting to know each other thing, or it's like the first day of kindergarten in a blue kit thing, I don't really know what's going on with Chelsea. But regardless, Watford took him to the shed and basically smeared Chelsea last week, and Chelsea deserved it because they played like crap.
And it is worth noting for people that didn't see that match that three of those goals came in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Watford were playing well, but it's not like this was looking like it was going to go this way the whole match. No. Worth noting on Watford that West Ham, Everton, West Brom over their next three, not as daunting as it would have looked at the beginning of the season. Also, you kind of were asking who I would favor there. And so I'm just going to kind of throw it back at you because I brought in Goodmunson last week.
Just
kind of weird gut call. Gets the goal against City, which was incredible. Then obviously Milivojevic has three goals in the last 5 weeks. James Ward-Prowse, same. Curious as to hear out of those, because Pascal Gross, the stats have been there all year. The problem is just Brighton aren't scoring, right? So you can have the best guy in a bad team if you want with Gross, or you can have these more high upside guys. Of the four, Milivojevic, Jerry D, Goodmunson, or Ward-Prowse, if you could only pick one, who are you taking?
Well, Milivojevic is going to take a little bit of a knock now with the Zaha injury, and how long he's going to be out is going to dictate how well and fluid Crystal Palace is up top. Milivojevic is basically his best asset is that he takes the penalty kicks there, and he does them very well. And at 4.7, owned in 5% of leagues, you could do much, much worse than his price tag. Jerry D at 6.0, like I said, he's owned in 1.2% of leagues. You know what you're going to get from him. We've seen what he could do. I think that what we saw last week is the penultimate of what you can expect from Gerald Deulofeu. He's not going to do that every week. He's not going to get a goal and assist every week. So I would temper expectations. And Pascal Gross, like I said in the beginning of comparing guys price-wise to what Gerald Deulofeu is, you know, he's very vanilla. He's like you hit it perfectly on the head when you said you want the shiniest star in a bag full of, you know, dying scoring stars, I guess we'll call it, with Gross. He's the best player on that team for fantasy, but how often is he going to give you a fantasy return? Yes, he's given you returns in the double digits. I think he's done it three times this year, which is phenomenal for a player. One, two, three. Four times. He's done it four times this year. He's double-digit four times this year, which is three more than Jamie Vardy. So, I mean, if you want to throw that into consideration there, you know, Jamie Vardy is, what, fifth or sixth in the league in goals scored, and he's only had one double-digit return all year. So take that into consideration when you think of prices and point return per million. Pascal Gross is up there because his price is 5.8, but the only limitation is that Brighton just doesn't do it consistently offensively, and he has to be involved in almost every goal for them or assist in every goal for them to have him be worth it for your roster. I understand he's probably everyone's fourth or fifth midfielder, but I'm saying that there's probably a better gambling game to play than rostering a Pascal Gross with a B.
Pascal Grobe. For people that don't know, that's called an S-thet in German, the B-looking thing that is a double S. And so now, not only will we tell you fantasy things, we'll also tell you linguistic things.
Linguistically.
Where
Pascal Grobe is flawed.
All right, cool. Other things obviously happened last week, including deadline day. We had five strikers in the official game move, six in other formats if you count Andre Ayew. But in this one, Aubameyang, Giroud, Slimani, Sorloth, and Hugo all move on deadline day. How many of those five do you think are ownable?
I don't think that Giroux is ownable until we figure out how much more crying Alvaro Morata is going to do. Aubameyang is completely ownable, just not for the next 2 weeks. When Arsenal get into their, you know, their double game weeks and when their fixtures start unfolding, when they have a blank and, you know, their roster, you know, their fixtures actually show their ugly heads, I can see him being an option for a lot of people. Sorloth is an interesting one because I mentioned Zaha is now injured. His price 5.5. I don't know if Palace can go with two guys at the top and have Benteke not be completely just lost at what he's doing. I'd like to see it because I don't think they have anybody else there because they're riddled with injuries. You know, Loftus-Cheek was a wide side player. Andres Townsend has been playing okay when Zaha's in the lineup, but when he's not there, he kind of disappears. Milivojevic is the middle player. Sakho is now out for the year. So, I mean, if Crystal Palace wants to see what they have from the – he's Norwegian, right, Sorloth? Yeah, Norwegian.
Yeah, I think he's Norwegian. He was playing in the Belgian league.
Yeah, I mean, if they want to see what
Danish league.
Danish league, yeah. If they want to see what they have from him, I mean, now is the time with the injuries that are on the menu for Palace. You know, there's a couple other strikers. Who else did you mention? Did you mention Guido Carrillo? I don't think I'd roster him.
On deadline day, but Carrillo did move to Southampton. And
yeah,
did get the start. I think he's the only one other than Aubameyang that actually started.
Yeah, weekend. Yeah. I think you're right. And then Jonathan Locadia, he's there
Jurgen,
as well. Jurgen Locadia for Brighton.
But he was also hurt, if memory serves.
He's hurt right now, yes. Yeah, there's not many incoming strikers that I'm using in, you know, quotation fingers, that I would own outside of Aubameyang. And the investment to get into Aubameyang is expensive because you're probably costing yourself, you know, Kane or Aguero, and you're not going to use him for the – I mean, you're not hoping – you're hoping for good returns, but you're not going to get it in the next 2 weeks if he's going against Spurs and then possibly against Man City. So, I mean, the names are interesting, but – the names are always interesting around the January transfer window, especially for forwards, especially in the Play Taga leagues, because the forward ranks are so shallow that basically everybody who has a pulse and does something on a weekly basis is basically owned. And my Play Taga team, I own four or five forwards, and I tried to pick one up, and they said, no, you can't do that.
We need to get a trade going because I have so many defenders and need a forward.
Yeah, I'll trade you one. I mean, forwards make the world go round. They score the goals. They get the chicks. But for fantasy, for official game, Aubameyang is the goods. It's a wait and see on Giroud. I wouldn't own him. And then everybody else is on a lower marketed club. I don't like Andre Ayew either. I know you mentioned his name transferring from West Ham to Swansea. It's a brotherly love thing. But, you know, I'd rather have the other Ayew because I think he's better.
I disagree that Jordan Ayew is better than Andre, but do agree he may be the one that stays at forward.
Yeah. All right. How about that? I'll say that.
Yeah, yeah.
I stand corrected with that. I'll agree with you on that.
Yeah, no, I just think Andre is more talented, but he may stay on the wing. But I am kind of wary of both of them until we get a better sense of how they're going to be utilized under Carlos Carvajal, who has been doing a phenomenal job. Austin's taking over at Swansea. That is it for questions for me. You got anything you want to discuss before we get into the price changes?
I mean, what teams moving forward are you looking at that you can usually have fantasy assets defensively in that you're looking to invest in? We saw pieces from Everton shiny, and then they just crapped the bed. Burnley has looked spotty lately. You know, are you still trusting the United defense? Are you still trusting the City defense that has one clean sheet in their last four? Is there any defenses on the secret tip that you're looking to invest in currently? Because everyone's always looking for defenders, whether on the cheap or on the come up. So, in your opinion, which two or three teams do you think could be defensively steals for the next couple weeks?
I am very glad you asked that because I listed five different teams under defenders in my starts. And this gives me a chance to thin out the herd.
It's like my camera that's hidden in your house is working.
Click, click, click. The two that I think are the most underrated and decent options right now are Swansea, who, again, have looked very good under Carvajal, as I just mentioned. I think in particular, Alfie Mawson looks a great deal, although Federico Fernandez is playing pretty consistently for them as well. And we haven't really seen as much from Martin Olsen as I would have liked, but he's probably the biggest assist threat from defense for them, unless they start playing Narsing as a wingback, as they did today in their FA Cup match. But obviously he isn't listed as a defender, so that would be limited help there. And the other one is going to be Stoke. They have two clean sheets and three attempts under Paul Lambert. And you and I spoke at the beginning of the year that with Wimmer and Zuma and potentially Martin Zindi as a three in front of Butland, like, this should have been a much better defense than it's been all year.
Just been injuries. There's too many injuries.
Exactly. And since Lambert's come in, they look better. You have Alfred and Dye in front of them now, who has the strength in midfield that will prevent some attacks from getting to them in the first place. They actually finally bring in a right back. So all of a sudden, this Stoke team looking a little bit better. And like I said, two out of three clean sheets. And I think both Swansea and Stoke, you can get most of them for five or under. So yeah, those are kind of my sneaky ones. I agree with you. A lot of the high profile guys have been frustrating. Start to keep an eye on, Tottenham after this Arsenal match is over, because then aside from Chelsea and City, which are very far apart in the fixture list, it's a pretty nice set of fixtures to round out the season. For Tottenham, and Toby will be back, and Wanyama obviously scored that cracker against Liverpool last week and should be in line for the start against Arsenal. So, like, we're finally getting back to Tottenham at full strength. And as we mentioned at the start of the season, Tottenham, when they're fully fit, are, you know, in that clear top three of the best defenses in the Premier League. So start angling that way if you want. It's like you're going to need some money to do it, though, which is why I'm saying start looking now. Yeah, if I had to name three, Tottenham would be the high-profile one, and I think Stoke and Swansea will be sneaky through the end of the year.
Yeah, what are you advising people to do with Marcus Alonso right now? If you're sitting
never
there,
bought him. That's what I've always done. I'm anti Marcus Alonso the way you were anti Harry Kane. I'm just fine with him scoring points the weeks he does, because I always have felt that he's a little overpriced for whatever value he returns.
Yeah, I mean, but if you're an owner, let's just say in a nutshell. And you can't play FPL in a nutshell because you'll never get a laptop in there. But so if you're an Alonso owner, what are you doing for this week? Are you sitting there hoping he plays, or are you taking him out of your lineup and looking for a cheaper option to invest your money elsewhere in the front eight, seven players, whatever?
I'm probably selling, because for starters, this is the highest price he's been all season. Mm-hmm. So if you're concerned and you sell out now, you get that bonus plus one probably, especially because if he doesn't start, he'll probably automatically go down.
So basically, what you're saying is Marcus Alonso is the Bitcoin of FPL.
The Bitcoin or the Dow Jones currently. Yeah, either
way. And boom, there's your title.
And then, yeah, you have United and City, two of the next 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. Obviously, West Brom this week is in a scary matchup. But I don't actually love it with Sturridge there. I think that attack could finally really start to get going. So yeah, I'm off Marcus Alonso. Find somebody cheaper, which should not be difficult, because I think literally everyone else is cheaper.
Literally everyone else is cheaper, and their sister. I think you can probably get somebody else's sister and a player like Noritz Bauer for cheaper than a Marcus Alonso.
Yeah, and it's Stoke and plays right back. He'll actually send in crosses. Also, the best benefit of Stoke finally sending a right back is that Mama Biram Diouf should no longer have to play in defense, which was the weirdest usage of a player I may have ever seen.
Yeah, well, you know, it's tough when you're stuck with so many wrong-footed players on that side of the field and you have to play somebody way OOP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was very, very strange indeed. You mentioned price changes earlier. We got some to go through?
Yeah, we got a couple. It's slow this week. I don't think people are really investing besides in Arsenal. On the ups, it's Pope and goal. People have seen what he's done in his return. Basically, I think the PK save was the return there. So I think people are believing it. Right? He had a PK save. Or am I confusing him with somebody else? No, he did. Didn't he? Yeah.
Wait, anyway.
So he went up. Ramsey, Mkhitaryan, in the midfield. Jordan Ibe for Bournemouth, who is a sneaky good sleeper at his price, 4.9 for Bournemouth.
Were you high on him in preseason?
Yeah, I love him. I owned him almost everywhere, and then I dropped him and then picked him back up if I could. Theo Walcott went up. I think this is a post-Theo world. You missed the points there for that 1 week. He'll score a few goals for the rest of the season. I'll probably put the over-under at 3 for the rest of the year, 3-12 games. That sounds about right. And the other guy to go up is James Ward-Prowse, who is an interesting case. You mentioned it before, and I completely neglected to in the comparison of Pascal Gross and all that. Southampton is fighting right now. They're fighting for their Premier League life, and Ward-Prowse is probably – I think he's probably their only ownable option on the whole entire team. I haven't owned a Southampton player all year. I probably won't, and I probably won't own James Ward-Prowse. But you could do better for a guy who's involved in a ton of set pieces, does a lot of the crossing work from corners, and we've seen him get on the offensive end with some goals and some assists, and his price tag is nicely and conducive for you to just slide him back, slide him into your fifth midfielder if you so choose. He'll be an interesting name if the fixtures line up where he ends up blanking somewhere or gets a double game week, because I think for his ability and his price, I think that he could be a sneaky sleeper down from like weeks 35 through 38. I think that's when Southampton's schedule kind of flattens out and they'll be actually playing up to their capacity, hopefully, because they're going to be fighting for their Premier League lives. On the downs, just there's some a lot of really bad names that I don't even know why they're owned. I'll go through some bigger ones. Aaron Moy, David Silva, Jesse Lingard, Lacazette, Harry Kane. And I wanted to ask you one more question before we got to the price ups and price downs. Mm-hmm. What are we doing with Riyad Mahrez?
I said let's wait a week and see. We still haven't gotten the press conference this week from Claude Puel. Yeah. If he comes out and says that he's back integrated and if he's back in training and back in the team, then I think you can hold on to him. He wanted to leave in the summer and then had the season he's had thus far, which is why he's in your team. Mm-hmm. So he's clearly shown he can turn his head back around. But if we hear that maybe he missed training this week or anything like that, then I'm bailing. I told people last week to hold on and wait and see. Just at time of recording, we don't have that info yet.
Yeah, I mean, his ownership is still pretty predominant here. He's still owned in 7.7% of leagues, whether how many of those are dead or whatnot. Remains to be seen if he does to get into fitness and get into training, get in the first team, some first team action. His price is 8.6, so he's a big investment, and you're probably hoping for it, but I think a lot of people that are in the know and actually on top of fantasy have probably already punted off of it. They probably have found a more swimmingable option in the midfield for them.
Cool. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with our starts and sits.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, and we are back. This time we're going to be talking about our starts and sits and junk. My obvious start is going to be Harry Kane. Because he's going up against London clubs and he's done very well, though worth noting that he's actually not been as successful this year as he has in years past. 3 out of 6 goals versus the top 6, which is usually higher, and has only scored in 2 out of the 5 London derbies this season, usually also higher. I'm expecting that to return to the mean, which means he could be in for maybe even a double this week, but I understand if other people are hesitant because of how chalk that one is. I'll go with the low price chalk at the moment. Everybody's bringing Callum Wilson. It looks like he may actually go up tonight as well. Mm-hmm. He's currently top 5 in both goals and shots on target and is facing Huddersfield, who are 19th in goals allowed this season out of 20. So he could have a very good week indeed. We've mentioned James Ward-Prowse a couple of times thus far. He's done very well of late as well, top 5 in goals and leads the league in accurate crosses, which... with Carrillo there could help. It would be better if it was Austin, but you'll take what you can get. He's been very impressive, although kind of like you were saying earlier, I fear the points may be behind him instead of in front of him. Also of note, Hazard, what we're doing top 5 in stats. Hazard is currently top 5 in goals, shots on target, shot accuracy, chances created, and touches in the box, which ticks very, very many boxes of things that I like to to see a player doing in a player. The question for you is, Rob, he's been just crushing it statistically lately.
Mm-hmm.
Are you interested in a player that is at a club with so much turmoil right now, or are you thinking that he's their best hope right now?
He's definitely their best hope. He did get a goal in the Watford game, so I mean, there is some you know, glory there, I guess we'll call it. Listen, if Man City blank in week 28, which they're probably gonna do, I think they're gonna take care of Wigan. Hazard is definitely an option there because everybody has high priced tangible assets in City attack. You know, whether it be De Bruyne and his price is similar to what Hazard is. Aguero, they'll probably punt down to somebody else. If they have Raheem Sterling, that's probably the three most owned United City guys that are on people's teams besides defense. I wouldn't be looking at it until that we figure out what the City fixture is. Like I said, that's why I'm going into this week attacking 1 week only, one night only. Do it Showgirl style or whatever that movie is. Dreamgirls. There you go. Do it like Dreamgirls. I mean, and Chelsea does face West Brom. So, I mean, I'm not a complete buyer in Hazard, but I'm not telling everyone to sell. You know, in his last five games, 10, 1, 16, 2, and 8, four goals in that time frame. And Chelsea have zero clean sheets, just to throw it out there.
Yeah, and worth noting, Hazard literally always disappoints anytime you bring him into your team.
But, he's such a better real-life player than a fantasy player.
Yeah, it's astounding, but obviously the stats very much in his favor thus far. In defense, like I said, I thinned out a lot of these guys earlier, so I'll just stick with Bournemouth. Mm-hmm. Obviously, at the start of the season, a lot of people liked Adam Smith or Charlie Daniels or Nathan Ake. This is the week to play them. They're up against Huddersfield, who have failed to score in 14 of 26 matches, which is worse than the Premier League. If you still hold them in whatever format, this is the week you play them. And you got to feel confident considering their recent run of matches. Rob, we'll come to you now. Who are you starting and sitting this week?
I'm starting on defense. We'll start in the back. I agree with Kevin's statement before. I like Swans this week. Federico Fernandez is my guy. 2 10-plus returns in the last 3 weeks for Federico Fernandez. Burnley is not awesome offensively, but they just don't ever score more than one goal. So that from that standpoint, this game's probably going to be 1-0, depending on who gets the goal. But I could see Swansea taking it. Swansea is undefeated in their last five matches, all games, because I'm counting FA Cup in there too. They have 3 wins and 2 draws. So, I mean, with the new management, somebody's righted the ship and starting to do stuff right. They're steering the Swan correctly. Let's put it that way. Through the midfield, we talked about him already. I'm going with Jerry Deulofeu at 6.0. I think it's about as legitimate as you're going to get from Jerry Deulofeu at 6.0. And like I said before, you could do so much worse at 6.0 than a lot of players. And a lot of people have some dead money wandering through their midfield. Jesse Lingard. There's a lot of questions for a lot of people who own a lot of midfielders. And I'd rather have an offensive player on Watford than a more defensive-minded, Abdoulaye Doucouré on their team. So if you wanted to transfer from one team on the same team, by all means, do so. On the forward, this one's going to be a little crazy, but everyone's always looking for that cheap third striker. And
did you knock your mic over?
Yup, I completely did. I got so excited, and I knocked my mic over. But everyone's always looking for that cheap third striker. Everybody's gone from Calvert-Lewin to Wilson, back to Calvert-Lewin to Jordan Ayew. And now my guy, I'm going to go with Glenn Murray here at 5.7.
Ooh, assuming he holds on to penalties.
Yeah, Stoke allowed the most goals in the Premier League to date, 52 goals allowed. He's got 3 goals in 5 matches. He does take the penalties, and he's basically the forward, option for FPL of Milivojevic is basically what he is. Brighton doesn't score a ton, but when they do, you want it to be Gross or Murray, and I'm banking on it being Murray this week. Price is nice. He's that third striker. Everybody in that 6.0 and under range is basically like an interchangeable entity. It's like a big Lego block, but with like different uniforms. My sits at forward. I'm going to go with Jamie Vardy. He's got goals in 3 straight. I don't see him scoring against City. I know City hasn't been the stalwart defense that we have seen lately. I don't think they have a clean in their last four or five matches, but they have faced some top flight talent there. So let's give them a little break. I don't see Jamie Vardy scoring this week, so I'm going to sit him. My midfield sit Anthony Martial. Those three games in a row where he scored double digits seemed like so long ago after that lineup we just saw United put on the pitch. And what I just saw from him 2 games ago, I'm not impressed at all. I think that Alexis Sanchez is going to take the shine off of Martial instead of adding to it. On defense, there's only one game that you really need to concentrate if you're sitting defenders this week. It's Spurs and Arsenal, and it's not even close. Kevin's going to agree because he's probably going to say the same thing. Me and Kevin both share the same sentiment on big form games. You don't really want too many assets in there. You don't want – listen, a good gumbo has the least amount of ingredients possible. And the ingredients you want to know about, you want to taste, not see.
Yeah. I do like some of these kind of big profile matches, but I'll start off with Arsenal, who obviously do have these big matches coming up against Tottenham and Manchester City, if memory serves. The forward is unfortunately somebody – I don't really talk about my goal team much, but it's way better than my official FPL team because it's my job. I actually brought in Lacazette three weeks ago, before all the Aubameyang stuff started, because throughout all his struggles, he has continued to be in the top three in shot accuracy basically from week one. And so I kept thinking, because obviously his Bayern run has been horrible. He scored just once since December 2nd, which is not great. Nope. But I figured that was going to turn around soon. Still has a very good shot accuracy percentage. 73% is nuts. Behind only Gabriel Jesus, who has a much smaller sample size because of his injuries. And so I kept thinking he was going to turn it around. But seeing last week that Aubameyang immediately replaced him, hearing quotes from David Ornstein, who's about as reliable comes for Arsenal News, saying that Wenger would never really rated Lacazette, and that's one of the reasons they were so quick to pull the trigger on Aubameyang. I'm just off the Lacazette train. It's possible that they try to find a way to get both of them on the pitch, but with how Iwobi has played, I find it hard to think that they'd sacrifice him to get Lacazette on the pitch. I know Lacazette's price may be why it happens, but from a footballing standpoint, there's no reason to force Iwobi off the pitch to make room for Lacazette right now. And for that reason, I'm taking him out, because if he is playing, he's probably going to play out of position, and I don't think he's going to be playing. In midfield, not to double down on Arsenal hate, get ready for everybody's keyboards to be clacking, saying that I'm a hater, is going to be Henrik Mkhitaryan. We mentioned at the top of the show the tough fixtures coming up. Also of note, Mkhitaryan's scored 3 assists already for Arsenal, but he had 5 at Manchester United in his first 3 matches, and then literally none after that. So is this a hot start? And if it is a hot start, I think it's good for us to take those 2 weeks that we mentioned during those 2 matches, or that not match, as you mentioned, as the case may be, to see whether or not we think this is more sustainable or if this is Manchester United all over again. He obviously looked incredible in the first match. It wasn't just the stats. He easily could have had another assist. He easily could have had a goal as well. So this is not me not rating him, and I actually think this move will help him more than if he had just stayed at United, obviously having lost his place to Lingard. I'm just saying for now, hit them brakes. In defense, unfortunately, coming to you at Chelsea, I'm off all Chelsea defenders right now. Specifically Christensen, because he was in my team and I had to take him out. I just don't think that's where the value is right now, with tough matches coming up for them as well. It's not looking good for them, Chelsea boys, considering Antonio Conte's head is basically on the block. Would not be shocked if he was sacked this week. Two of the last 4 Chelsea managers have been sacked after results against West Brom. And then if he makes it through that match, which weirdly is a head-chopping one for Chelsea managers, then it's United and City. So there's a chance this goes south very quickly, and I probably don't want to stand through that, because Chelsea obviously have defensive talent, but Antonio Conte is one of the best defensive managers in the world. Maybe only behind Simeone, honestly. And so if he goes, it'll cause a whole bunch of upheaval. Who knows who gets the starts then at that point? Will it be Rudiger? Will it be Christensen? Obviously, you assume Azpilicueta continues to be the only person that you can trust will play every week. I'm off the Chelsea defense train. Also, this time last, the first half of the season, I said be sure to get rid of Arsenal and Tottenham defenders this week. Not get rid of, but just don't play them because – Only 3 times out of the last 10 had neither team scored, But then it happened again, a clean sheet that Arsenal held last time. So 4 out of the last 10 starts looking a little less convincing, and it's the last 2 consecutively that at least one team has kept a clean sheet. So place your bets. I don't know which side it'll be on. Obviously, biasedly, I like to say it's Tottenham, but if Toby isn't back in time, I'd be much less confident of that. So if you're feeling cheeky, you know, maybe play your Koscielny, who's been scoring a weird amount of goals lately, or Monreal, who had a couple chances last week as well. So yeah, feel free to do that if you'd like. Now moving on to our teams. The move I made this week is the one I already mentioned. Took out Christensen, brought in Alfie Mawson. Could have gone down to Fernandez or Olsen, as I mentioned. But I really like Mawson and have done just as a player that I like. And it's kind of a move that I did just because I wanted to. And I think it's worth mentioning to listeners, you know, sometimes you make moves because you like a player. And it just makes it more fun. And obviously, rank is important. It's how you judge yourself against everybody else. But I could choose between Federico Fernandez or Alfie Mawson, a player that I've really liked ever since he came into the league. Obviously, he was like tied for second in goals among defenders last season. So it's not like this is just like a shot in the dark call. But so I brought him in. I like him. Next week, I may change Adrian up to somebody reliable. But I don't really feel the need to do it this week because Fabianski is my other keeper. And he's going up against Burnley. And they're playing at home, Swansea are, where they've been doing very well against Liverpool and Arsenal. Even if they're not keeping up clean sheets, they're keeping things pretty tight. Then Brighton, West Ham, Huddersfield, Southampton is their 5. I'm not really worried about any of those teams, especially since that West Ham match looks like it'll come just before Arnautovic is back. So, you know, if that's 3 clean sheets out of the next 5, that's a success. So that Fabianski-Mawson thing, while it looks like a DFS strat, is something I'm willing to do this week. As for captain, it's currently on Kane due to his past performances against Arsenal, although I do know, as I mentioned earlier, that this year he's been a little bit off the pace in these London derbies. It could swap over to maybe Sterling. Salah, I think, could obviously tear Southampton asunder, but I think Ryan Bertrand is one of the few players that may be able to keep pace with him for the most part. And then Callum Wilson, if you're feeling freaky. People playing at home.
It's
currently on Kane, and my vice captain is probably going to be on Sterling, and I may swap them throughout the week.
Let's get freaky with Callum Wilson as your captain.
What's your team looking like?
I actually made a move too, and we didn't discuss this beforehand, but I also brought in a Swansea defender. I brought in Federico Fernandez. So my defense will be Fernandez, Jones, Alonso, maybe Otamendi. My midfield currently sits at Ibe, Pogba, De Bruyne. I still own Lingard. I don't have a reason to get rid of him because he's basically my unplayable midfielder. The funny thing is I trust Jordan Ibe over Jesse Lingard right now, which is a crazy thought out loud. And then Mohamed Salah through the midfield. My forwards are Wilson, Firmino, and Aguero. I have Fabianski in goal. I like Swansea's run in here with the next 4 or 5 games are completely in their favor. This is why I'm investing in Fernandez, not as a 1 week guy, but as a multiple week guy. He can basically take me to the double game weeks that are in proposition and on everybody's plate. And at 4.4, he's not going to kill anybody. He's still not owned in a ton of leagues, so there's a little bit of meat left on the bone. But this next run of fixtures, if Swansea can get another clean sheet or maybe 2 in a row, that it's probably going to be gone and the differential will be just completely wasted. Captain-wise, as sexy as it sounds, I have Aguero and I have De Bruyne. And I have Salah, so it's probably going to be one of those 3. It's just which one. I could see Liverpool, you know, completely dominating, like you said, Southampton. But I don't know if it's going to be Salah. I don't know if it's going to be Firmino. We don't know. It's probably going to be more Salah than Firmino. But are we sure that it is? I mean, I know we made a bet. I have Vardy, you have Firmino, and I'm winning 2-1 goals for the rest of the year with that bet. So. Yeah, I don't know, but it'll probably be City. I'll probably just keep it simple, or maybe put it on Salah because everybody else in my mini league has been putting on Salah every week, and I keep losing points because I just was like trying to be different. But anyway, that's why we play the game. It's all about differentials and things we do and things we don't come back to bite us in the booty.
Cool. Well, other than that, not much left to do, but talk about how the Eagles beat the Patriots. Ha. Steelers, only team with 6 rings. Go Steelers. Hashtag stairway to 7.
Hashtag Steagles.
Dude, how do you know about this? Because you're a smart guy. But yeah, because for those that don't know, that World Pittsburgh Steelers and Philadelphia Eagles actually combined teams during World War II when neither team had enough players. They were the Pennsylvania Steagles.
They were the Pittsburgh Philadelphia Steagles.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's pretty funny. Yeah, I mean, it was a good game. I hope people invested and won a lot of money. I know it's Tuesday after Super Bowl. You're really not supposed to be. It's like cliche to talk about the Super Bowl on a Tuesday after the Super Bowl. Usually only talk about it on like the Monday. It's like wishing somebody Happy New Year's and it's like January 21st.
Yeah. We were talking about before we started recording, you're obviously a Giants fan. Seems like the Patriots just don't watch the NFC East and have no idea how to beat them.
Hey, they can't beat the old school gridironers. The teams that have been down and around forever. The NFC East is basically the oldest division in football. You know, like the oldest, basically, the teams have been around for so long.
Yeah. Congratulations to the Eagles organization. Congratulations to the fans that survived. Rob, tell the folks where they can get at you.
You can find my writings and stylings on razzball.com. I am a little busier now because baseball preseason and pitchers and catchers report in 1 week. So if you're listening to this tomorrow, it is exactly 1 week from when pitchers and catchers report. So get excited, baseball fans. I'll be covering fantasy baseball relief pitchers and basically saves and steals is basically what I do over there at Razzball. And I do cover fantasy soccer for a couple more game weeks until the end of the season. And then I'll be all baseball. And then me and Kevin will be in the World Cup, and then we'll be talking about summer transfers, and then we'll be back into 2018, 2019 season, and then, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Be sure to check out that relievers article. It is very, very good and promising for the Pirates, as Felipe Ribeiro is one of the last good players on the team, but falls in your top 10. For me, I'm Kevin DeVries at Kevroff on Twitter. I wrote over at goal.com. Be sure to check that out. I did an article on those forwards that all move clubs, including Andre Ayew, though, because he is listed as a forward in Goal. And I think he is on Opta and therefore Taga as well. So check that out if you're interested. Also, we did a recap of all 20 teams' Premier League transfer window on the EPL Roundtable and Anfield Index. It's a two-parter. So if you just want kind of that background information that leads into fantasy knowledge as well, be sure to check that out. It's about 3 hours probably in all. But just set it on while you're on a drive or something like that, and you'll get learned something real good. If not, just keep listening to our fantasy shows. Apologies again about last week, but best of luck to your teams this week, and we'll catch you next time.
Peace.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.